أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم اخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet Muhammad has now settled in Medina. A very dangerous aspect of him settling in Medina right now is the fact that the Muslims don't have any allegiances to any tribes. And as we mentioned in the beginning of this series, is that Arabia was built on tribalism. If you don't have a tribe, you have no identity and no defense. And so Rasulullah, one of the first things that he did after establishing the masjid and after establishing the brotherhood pact between the Muslims, the Ansar and the Muhajirun, he decided he would create the platoon known as Ansaraya. This battalion of warriors, of Muslims, who would act as the military defense. Now, of course, they were only small in number. The Muslims were not many at this time. But what the Prophet Muhammad would do is, for several reasons, he had these young Muslims be prepared and trained by both Hamza and Imam Ali alayhi salam, who were his commanders. And they would train this platoon for many reasons. One of them was so that they could go and know the lands, know the different tribes. So they would see the lands, become accustomed to the land surrounding Medina. Likewise, this was an intimidation, a tactic of intimidation for the tribes surrounding Medina to show them, don't think that you can come and ransack us or hurt us or do the bidding of Quraysh, because we're not pushovers. They would go around these men, of these Muslims. For months, they would be trained by Hamza and Ali. Then they would go around, sometimes in groups of 10, 20, 30, 40, or even 50. They would go around with their weapons by their sides and they would walk around the towns. The tribes surrounding Medina would see them. They would know these are the new Muslims and their presence has been felt. They would do this for months on end until their name became more and more famous. Now, once the platoons of Rasulullah were ready, the Prophet Muhammad decided it was time now to increase the dose on Quraysh, because no one outside of Medina would listen to Rasulullah. And even those in Medina who were not Muslims were fearful that if they were to join Islam, the Quraysh would attack them. Because of course, الناس كلهم تبعا لقريش. People, all people, they follow Quraysh. If Quraysh says no, then the Arabs won't accept the mission and message of Rasulullah. So Rasulullah wanted Quraysh to let the Arabs finally come to him freely, so he can go and speak the word of God. Of course, the Quraysh would not accept. When the platoons were ready, Rasulullah decided to increase the dose. So, at one of those times when the caravan of Quraysh was going towards Syria, with Abu Lahab, the uncle of Rasulullah, leading the caravan, Prophet Muhammad decided to send Hamza and the platoons to go and stop the caravan just to show them that we are here. So Hamza takes 20 fighters, only 20. They wait for the caravan of the Quraysh to come and then they block the road. Hamza walks out with 20 fighters. They stand behind him. Hamza stands, the Quraysh, the caravan could not believe it. This was their economy, this was their road. And right now, a tribe for the first time stops the Quraysh in their tracks. Meanwhile, a nearby tribe see this. What's interesting is, instead of joining the Quraysh in order to fight Hamza and the Muslims, which is what usually would have been done in the times of Li'ilafi Quraysh, of course, because everyone follows Quraysh and everyone has a treaty with Quraysh, usually they would always side with Quraysh, the royals of the Arabian Peninsula. Now, after seeing the Muslims for several months, it had been 7 months of the Muslims patrolling the area, knowing there are more of them, knowing that they mean business, this nearby tribe decided they will not attack the Muslims. Instead, they'll mediate, they will make peace between the Quraysh and the Muslims. This was in itself a great victory for Rasulullah. His presence was now being felt. Quraysh now had been provoked. And you cannot provoke Quraysh with their wealth. That is what is the most difficult thing to provoke Quraysh with. They were losing their patience with Rasulullah, and the time to attack Rasulullah was coming closer and closer. Rasulullah was doing what he could to prepare and be ready, and all he wanted, not to attack them, Rasulullah does not want to attack them. The Prophet Muhammad simply wants them to allow him to speak to the Muslims. Just take me off your most wanted list, that's all. The Quraysh then are allowed to go through. Hamza lets them through, and it was just a message sent to Quraysh. Once the Quraysh return back to Mecca, they tell them of what happened. Rasulullah cut off the roads. The people were in disbelief. What? He's finally taking that step? He's doing what we feared? They were so prepared at any moment now to attack the Prophet Muhammad. Rasulullah would have spies that would go out, find out about the caravan coming and return, so he can make plans about when to cut off their roads and pressure them. This time, Rasulullah was told that a very large caravan with hundreds of camels and thousands of dinars was going to Syria. The Prophet Muhammad decided this caravan, we're going to stop and we're going to take their goods, the same goods that they owe us. Because now in what happened in Medina is the houses of the Muslims and all the goods of the Muslims were taken by the Quraysh. And so the Muslims had no more wealth. So Rasulullah wanted all their wealth back, what's rightfully theirs. He wanted to take that from Quraysh, from the caravan. If the Quraysh wouldn't return it, he would take it back himself. He decided to go and cut off Quraysh in a land known as Badr. This land was called Badr because of a well, the well of Badr, which was situated there. It was a place where someone would rest and drink water. Travelers would come and drink before they set off on their journeys. He came with the Muslims. He came and he told them, we'll stay here, we'll stop the caravan, we'll take our belongings and we'll leave. Once they got to Badr, they had realized they had missed the caravan. The caravan had gone off without them. This time Abu Sufyan, the father of Muawiyah, he was the one leading the caravan. Abu Sufyan goes, he got to Syria. The caravan was missed by the Muslims. So Rasulullah says, we'll catch it on the way back. Months later, when Rasulullah receives news that the caravan is coming back, he decides to tell the Muslims, let's go to Badr and await the caravan. He brings the Muhajirin and the Ansar. And the Ansar come with him because this is not a battle of war. It's not an attack. This is just going to take the goods back. Because the Ansar had pledged allegiance only for defensive purposes, not for attacking purposes. Now, Rasulullah goes to Badr and he waits with the Muslims. Meanwhile, Abu Sufyan, on his return, he also had spies. And he was told that there were people who now were waiting in Badr, and he knew it was Rasulullah and the Muslims going to cut off his road. He by himself went, by himself, got close to Badr, and he would see dates from Medina. He confirmed to himself that these are indeed the Muslims. He went back to his tribe, to his caravan. He told them, we'll take a different route. We're going to take the route of the sea around. We won't take the route of Badr. But before that, he told one of his soldiers, he said, listen, get on your horse and you go to Quraysh and get there as fast as you can. Rip up your clothes and scream and tell them that the Muslims have come to attack us, that the Muslims are cutting off the caravan and taking the goods for themselves. So his soldier gets on his horse and paces towards Mecca. Meanwhile, Abu Sufyan organizes his large caravan in order to take a long route around and to Mecca. The Muslims are waiting in Badr. They're waiting for the caravan to come patiently. The soldier Abu Sufyan gets to Mecca and begins to scream, Ya Quraysh! Ya Quraysh! Quraysh, come, they surround. What's happening? What's going on? What's wrong with you? Why are your clothes ripped? Why are you panicking? He says, Abu Sufyan has sent me. He needs help. He needs aid. the Muslims have surrounded the caravan of Quraysh and they want to take the goods. Quraysh had enough. Abu Jahl had enough. He says, that's it. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah had enough. Utbah is the father-in-law of Abu Sufyan, the mother of Hind. So he's the grandfather of Muawiyah and the grandfather of Yazid. Utbah decides that this is a final straw. They gather as many warriors as they can, amounting to 950 warriors. And they decide to go, and they're going to end Rasulullah once and for all. They set on their way. Abu Sufyan slowly gets to Mecca. Once Abu Sufyan gets to Mecca, he sees that many of his cousins are not here. Many of his relatives, where are they? He asks. They tell him they already left. Now we were told that you are stuck in Badr and Rasulullah had cornered you and was taking the caravan. So Abu Sufyan tells them, bring them back. Word is received by Abu Sufyan that Abu Jahl will not come back. The people of Quraysh were not going to return. That's it. They had gathered their warriors, 950 warriors going to kill Rasulullah, going to end the Muslims once and for all on their way. They went there and they situated themselves across from Badr. Meanwhile, Rasulullah and the Muslims, they awaited. In Badr, two slaves of the Quraysh had entered to go and drink water from the well, and the Muslims spotted them. So the Muslims went and took these slaves of Quraysh and brought them back to the Muslims, and the Muslims began to ask, who are you? Where'd you come from? Who'd you come with? Why are you here? And these two slaves began to panic, and they did not know what to reply. So Rasulullah tells everyone to calm down. He comes to them, he says, where'd you come from? They say, we came from Mecca. He said, you came with the Quraysh? Yes. Rasulullah realizes that something is wrong, because they should have been coming from Syria, not Mecca. So he says, how many camels do you slaughter every day? So they said, we slaughter about 10 camels a day. So he said, there would be about 1,000 of them. And there were 950 of them. So Rasulullah realizes they have come for war. Here Rasulullah has to make a decision. Either they retreat and go back to Medina, or they fight. And the issue with going to Medina is now, the first time that the Muslims have been challenged, they would have retreated. People would know that intimidation factor that he had for this whole year that he's been working with the platoon, they've been working for a whole year, would all be gone to waste. Quraysh also would not stop. 1,000 warriors, they would go into Medina and go after Rasulullah. The Prophet decided he had no choice but to stand and fight. But the problem was he only had 250 Ansar and he had 63 Muhajirin, which by the way makes the number 313, which is where the number comes from for those who will be the Ansar of Imam Mahdi. It follows the number of the 313 of Badr. Now, he only had 63 members from the Muhajirin, and he had problems here. The first problem with the Muhajirin is that they're from Quraysh. Even though the Muslims, as we mentioned, these people that have come, these warriors, they're related to them. Is he going to have them on side fully? Are they going to be half-hearted? Are they going to fight with all of their might? Likewise, the Ansar, they had only given him a pledge of defense, not attack. And they're not in Medina right now. Rasulullah realizes he has to get the pledge from the Muhajirun before the Ansar. So he sits them all down. He sits the Muhajirin down here and the Ansar here. And he says, yeah, Muhajirin. The Quraysh have come and they have come to fight. Ashiru alayh. Tell me what you think. Give me your advice. Here, Rasulullah is a leader. They're not a tyrant. Not a dictator. He asks them, Ashiru alayh. Abu Bakr stands up and he says, ya Rasulullah, innaha Quraysh. He says, ya Rasulullah, this is Quraysh. They have never been defeated. This is the most famous tribe in Arabia. We're going to fight them? Rasulullah tells him, sit down. He asks again, Ashiru alayh. Here, Miqdad stands up. He says, ya Rasulullah, we are with you wherever you go. If you go to move the seas, we will move the seas with you. And we will not say to you, Like the people of Bani Israel said to Moses before he went against Fir'aun. They said, "Inna huna qa'idun." You go with your Lord and you fight. We are here, we are sitting here, we're remaining here. We're going to tell you, "Inna ma'akum muqatilun." We are with you, fighting with you to our last breath. Here, the muhajirun all began to shout, "Ya Rasulullah, we're with you." The momentum grew. Rasulullah finally got what he needed from the muhajirun. He looked to the Ansar, said, "Ya Ansar, ashiru alayh. Give me your advice." Here, the Ansar, one of them stood up and said, "Ya Rasulullah, ka'annaka aradtana. It seems like you want us to fight with you." He said, "Yes, I do." So they said, "We are with you. And if you want to move the seas, we will move the seas with you." And now the Ansar all became hyped and they all began to chant, "Allahu Akbar." They all stood. Rasulullah now finally had them in their aggression, in their readiness for sacrifice and for war. And so they decide to move into the valley to go and meet the army of Quraysh. And here Rasulullah looks to the sky and he says, "Ya Allah, nasraka alladhi wa'adtani, innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad." Give me your victory, my Lord. The victory which you have promised me, you never break your promises. So the Muslims, 313, went through the valley. They came across from them, they saw the Quraysh. The Quraysh stood 950 strong. So Utba comes forward. Three warriors, two by his side. His son Walid, the brother of Hind, and Sheba from their tribe. And he says, "Ya Muhammad, bring us your warriors." So three Muslims step out and walk towards Utba. And Utba says, "What's this?" And they say, "We have come to fight you." He says, "Go back. Ya Muhammad, bring us our equals." So Rasulullah looks to Hamza and he says, "Qum ya Am." Hamza stands up with his sword. Rasulullah looks to his cousin. He says, "Qum ya Ali." Ali alayhi salam stands up with his sword and approaches. Then he calls for Ubaidah from the tribe of Rasulullah. Ubaidah gets up. And so Hamza goes forward in the middle. To his right, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And to his left, he has Ubaidah. He comes forward, he says, "Ya Utbah, I am Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. On my right is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And on my left is Ubaidah. Are we your equals?" So Utbah says, "You are our equals." And they charge against each other. And Hamza goes to fight Utba. Ali goes to fight Walid. And Ubaidah fights Sheba. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the first one to kill Walid. He throws his sword into the sky, grabs it and swipes it at Walid. And Walid dies with the first strike. Here, Imam Ali alayhi salam gallops, runs towards Hamza. Hamza was known as a very tall man. So he says, "Uncle, duck." Hamza brings his head down. Imam Ali alayhi salam swipes his sword across Utba's chest and Utba is now killed. Utba falls to the ground. Imam Ali alayhi salam then runs towards Sheba as he's fighting Ubaidah. Sheba has cut off Ubaidah's leg in the meantime whilst Ubaidah has stabbed him, but they're in a stalemate. Imam Ali comes and he begins to fight Sheba until he kills Sheba. Imam Ali alayhi salam killed all three. Ubaidah's on the ground. Imam Ali picks him up. And he and Hamza take him back to the Muslims. The Muslims are all shouting, "Allahu Akbar." They have killed Utba and they have killed Walid. The Quraysh now, their morale has been lost. They have seen their leader be killed. They bring back the wounded Ubaidah into the Muslim camp. They lay him down. Rasulullah comes to him. He holds him by his neck. Here he's losing blood profusely. Ubaidah asks Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, am I going to die? Am I going to be the first martyr?" Rasulullah says, "You'll be the first martyr from my family." And here he crosses his eyes and his soul leaves this world. But the war is carrying on, it's continuing. Imam Ali alayhi salam stands up, Hamza stands up, they look at each other, they're both ready. They both charge, leading the Muslim cavalry. The Muslims all begin to charge towards the Quraysh. The Quraysh now are in a panic. The morale is not on their side. They have just lost Utba. And now the Quraysh are retreating. Hamza and Imam Ali alayhi salam go on a ferocious rampage, killing whoever stands in their way. On that day, Ali killed 35 people from Quraysh after all the trouble they had given Rasulullah for those 13 years and all the Muslims they have killed. Ali finally had not the permission to take revenge for his prophet, for his father, for himself, for everything that they had endured all those years. And he assisted in the rest of the kills. 70 members of Quraysh were killed. This was an astonishing event in the history of Quraysh. The royals of Arabia, 70 of them killed, until they began to retreat, running left, right, and center. The Muslims now were shouting victoriously. They came back into the Muslim camp. Rasulullah gathered the Muslims. 313 Muslims now made their way back into Medina. The people in Medina were shocked. They had no clue that Rasulullah had such power. Quraysh had been defeated. For the first time, Quraysh were defeated. Someone now in Arabia has the power over Quraysh. The rest of the tribes in Arabia would hear about this. Quraysh returned to Mecca. Abu Sufyan could not believe his ears. And this was a turning point for the Muslims. When news reached Mecca that 70 people from Quraysh had been killed, people were distraught. People were mourning. They couldn't believe it. Let alone when Hind found out that her father was killed and that her brother was killed by Ali ibn Abi Talib, she went insane. And she went to Abu Sufyan, her husband, and she told him, "They have killed my family and we will gain revenge no matter what." So Abu Sufyan goes and they started to pull out all the stops. They started to speak to the tribes around them. Hundreds of people came to join the Quraysh in order to seek revenge from the Muslims. They went to a man known as Talha ibn Abi Talha. A man, he and his 8 brothers, known as savages, those who would hunt wild beasts. And he told them that, "You come with us, we'll pay you whatever you wish, and you'll be the flag bearers of our army going to kill Muhammad once and for all." Hind had a personal slave by the name of Wahshi, who was a spear thrower. And she told him, "Wahshi, I want you to kill 3 people. I want you to kill Muhammad, I want you to kill Hamza, and I want you to kill Ali." So Wahshi agrees. They brought everyone, Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn Walid. Now they had lost Utbah, they had lost Abu Jahl, they had lost all these men that who were killed in Badr. This time they were going to fight them. This time they gathered 3,000 warriors of Quraysh, all cousins, one tribe, 3,000 warriors, pulling out all the stops. They took their time to mourn their losses. Then they go in before the idols. They went to Lat and Uzza and Hubal, and they pledged allegiance to their idol, and they prayed for victory and that they were going to gain revenge against the Muslims. Meanwhile, the name of the Muslims became famous in Arabia. People in Medina now were becoming Muslim by the hundreds until there were over 1,000 Muslims. However, many of them only for the power that the Muslims had gained. And so there were many hypocrites at that time. The Rasulullah would only take someone by what they showed in public. So as long as they weren't showing their hypocrisy, he would treat them fairly. Rasulullah found out that the Quraysh were coming. Quraysh sent word. They were coming into Medina and they were going to massacre everyone in Medina. Rasulullah saw it better that the Muslims remain in Medina and fight a war of guerrilla warfare in order to take advantage and not be susceptible to the greater numbers of the Quraysh. However, the men who were there in Badr and the younger men who had joined and heard this great heroics and story of Badr, they were still feeling that momentum and they were telling, "Ya Rasulullah, we want to go out, we want to go fight them face to face." Here Rasulullah needs this momentum. At the same time, they weren't listening to him. They weren't listening to him. And so Rasulullah decided, fine. He needed everyone to be on board. So he says, "We will go out and meet them outside of Medina." Later on, the people realized that they had gone against the wishes of Rasulullah. As Rasulullah was preparing for battle, putting his armor on, they asked him for forgiveness. He said, "Rasulullah, we didn't mean to offend you. We should have listened to you. If you want, we can stay in Medina now." Rasulullah decides, no. A prophet, once he puts his armor on, he never takes it off. Rasulullah had to make a decision, and he did. And once that decision is made, he can't simply change it. This would show a part of a lack of character in a leader, that once they make a decision, they always turn back on their decision. So Rasulullah gathers the Muslims. There is about 1,000 of them. Now they make their way into a place known as Uhud. And it was called this because there was a large mountain, and it's one mountain, so Ahad, oneness, unity. And this mountain, Rasulullah decided that we would stand in front of this mountain, because this way we would take advantage that they would have hundreds of horses charging at us. If those horses charge at us and they are in their thousands, the warriors, we will not survive the day. But if we stand in front of the mountain, the horses cannot charge. They would have to charge on foot as warriors. Otherwise, the horses, 70 miles per hour, would run into the mountain. So the Muslims stood in front of the mountain. The mountain had one form of weakness. There was a side which was not covered. And so what the Prophet did was, instead of allowing the Quraysh that when they come, they surround the Muslims with their large numbers and they attack from the blind side, from the side that there is no protection, he took 50 of his warriors and he situated them on top of the mountain. And he said, "You are 50 warriors. If each one of you throws 20 arrows, there would be 1,000 arrows." So they act as snipers. Here, Rasulullah is a general in the army. They have 1,000 arrows that could all cover that blind spot. That way, if the Quraysh was trying to come in to attack the Muslims from the place of no protection, the archers would just throw their, they would shoot their arrows at them and protect the Muslims from that side. Rasulullah told them, "No matter what, you do not come off the mountain. If we go forward, you don't come off the mountain. And if we retreat, don't come off the mountain. No matter what." This was a very strange order by Rasulullah, but said for a reason. His whole army depended on the strategy of the archers. Here, the Quraysh were coming towards the Muslims in Uhud. Hamza began to rile up the troops, telling them, "I will chase them back to Mecca." The Muslims began to shout. However, of those hypocrites, 300 of them ran away. A man by the name of Abdullah ibn Ubay led them, the leader of the hypocrites, and they left the Muslims, now only 700. In the middle of this time, this very sensitive time, Rasulullah needs unity, he loses almost half of his army. But he remains steadfast. Those with him now were feeling shaky, but they remained. Imam Ali alayhi salam held the flag of Rasulullah. He was the flag bearer. The army of the Quraysh approached. They stood there. Talha ibn Abi Talha, the savage with his brothers, had the flag in his arm. The flag was how the armies at the time knew to go forward or to come back, knew how the war was going. The flag bearer was the leader of the army. Imam Ali always had his eyes on the flag bearer. Talha ibn Abi Talha comes out and he begins to scream and mock the Muslims. Even the woman came with the Quraysh this time. Hind came and they began to tell the men, "Go, we're waiting for you. Go and show us what you can do." Here now, the men were waiting to gain revenge, finally. Khalid ibn Walid took over a battalion. Talha was in the middle, Wahshi behind them. The Quraysh now eager for blood and hundreds of other members of other tribes waiting with them. The Muslims stood in defiance. Talha was the first one to come out and he called out, "Who would challenge me?" Talha ibn Abi Talha. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam came out with his flag. And he says, "Me, Ali ibn Abi Talib." So Talha remembers him. He goes, "Ah, you were the one. They used to come to fight us when we were young. We would throw rocks at Rasulullah, throw rocks at Muhammad." So Imam Ali alayhi salam gets off his horse. Talha gets off his horse and they begin to battle until Imam Ali alayhi salam kills Talha, finishes him off. Their flag drops, but one of Talha's brothers comes and takes the flag. Imam Ali kills him as well. The third one comes, Imam Ali kills him as well, until he runs through 8 of those brothers after each other. The Muslims now screaming, shouting. Hamza runs forth to fight with Imam Ali alayhi salam, and now Imam Ali and Hamza, they're leading the troops again, like a scene from Badr. The Muslims are now fighting the Quraysh and they're winning, and the Quraysh are panicking. And here, the Muslims are screaming, Imam Ali alayhi salam receives a hit on his arm, and so his arm breaks. So he takes the flag in his other arm and he continues to fight. And he fights. And Hamza pushes through the ranks of the Quraysh so far forward. But then a problem occurs. Those on top of the mountain, those 50 archers, greed takes over. They realize the Muslims are winning. And they say, if we stay on this mountain, then the other Muslims are going to get all of the goods of the Quraysh once the war is over. So we have to go and take what's rightfully ours. We're going to win this war anyway. So they disobey the order of Rasulullah. 43 of the archers came down from the mountain. Only 7 remained on the mountain. When this happened, the blind spot, the area of no protection, opens up. The Quraysh begin to run in. Khalid ibn Walid was waiting for this moment. He leads his battalion, and now they surround the Muslims. And they begin to massacre the Muslims left, right, and center from all angles. Now blood everywhere, the dust is everywhere, no one knows where anyone else is. People are screaming. Muslims begin to run in every direction. Hamza is so far forward, he can't come back now, and he's surrounded. They begin to attack him from all angles. Wahshi comes, looks for Imam Ali. He sees Imam Ali fighting, but he can't get close to him. He says, it's like he has eyes in the back of his head. I can't get near him. He looks for Rasulullah. Rasulullah was fighting like a ferocious warrior on the battlefield, to the point that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, when the battle would become at its most intense, we used to hide behind Rasulullah to catch our breaths. Rasulullah would be fighting. He says, I couldn't get near Rasulullah either. But he looks at Hamza and he says, Hamza is more wild. Hamza does not look behind him. He decides Hamza is the one he can get. He runs towards Hamza. Hamza is surrounded by the Quraysh at that time. He throws a spear. It pierces Hamza, and then he cuts Hamza's legs. Hamza falls to the ground. Hamza tries to get up. All the people of Quraysh come with their swords and start to stab Hamza. Tens of them. Hamza looking, facing an imminent death. But before he loses his life, Hind comes and joins the battle and says, bring me his organs. Hamza dies and he is ripped open. And she takes that organ and said she bites into that organ. The liver of Hamza, biting into his liver. Now, with Hamza on the ground and his body being trampled, some Muslims see the body of Hamza and they can't believe it. One of their leaders, the strongest one amongst them, the Lion of God, is now killed. People begin to scream, Qutila Muhammad, Qutila Muhammad. Muhammad has been killed. Panic ensues. They run in all directions. There is a narration almost in every single warrior that they ran away. Some ran to the Red Sea. They left Rasulullah, except one man. In fact, there is a report that Imam Ali alayhi salam, thabata wahda, remained completely by himself in the battlefield. Meanwhile, Rasulullah, after everyone had left him, he was by himself. Khalid ibn Walid came and they surrounded Rasulullah, tens of them, and he's fighting by himself. No aid, no helpers. Rasulullah by himself, receiving hits from all angles, his face is bleeding and he keeps fighting. On the other side, Imam Ali is looking around. He can't see Rasulullah, he's fighting. Here, you understand who Ali ibn Abi Talib is. Because he says at this moment, look at how he thinks, look at his way of thinking. He says, I looked around and I couldn't see Rasulullah. They were screaming that he was dead, but I know that he can't die right now because the mission is not complete. And I know he would never run away. So I realized there's only one conclusion. What's the logical conclusion that Ali comes up with? He says, Rasulullah must have been raised into the heavens like Isa ibn Maryam. Like Jesus Christ. That's the only way. So he thinks that a miracle has taken place rather than thinking that they have lost. And he fights towards his final breath. He keeps fighting to his last breath. He does what he's supposed to do before his Lord. He fights and fights and fights. This is the one who fought in Badr. In Badr, when Jibra'il called out, La fata illa Ali, la sayfa illa dhulfiqar. Here again, he proves, La fata illa Ali, la sayfa illa dhulfiqar. There is no young warrior like Ali and no sword except Dhulfiqar. And he keeps fighting until he sees Rasulullah in the distance. So he runs to him and he begins to aid him and pushes the enemies away from him. So Rasulullah looks, finally there's aid. And he asks, Ya Ali, where is everyone? Where did they go? So Ali says, Ya Rasulullah, Qad kafaru. They have disbelieved and they have left us. And Rasulullah says, وَأَنْتَ يَا عَلِي, you didn't leave. So Ali smiles and says, الْكُفْرُ بَعْدَ الْإِسْلَامِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, me, I would never leave you. And they stood together. And so Rasulullah said, here, Ya Ali, when the tens of horses would come, Imam Ali and Rasulullah stood back to back, defending each other. No one could get close to their circle of defense. Whenever anyone would come forth, Rasulullah and Imam Ali would fight together to remove them from their sight. The horses would come close and circle around them, go back, circle around them. Rasulullah and Imam Ali defending each other until the Muslims would see Rasulullah alive and that they were holding their own. And so Rasulullah begins to call them back. Return, return, take the sword from me. Man li hadha saif. So slowly they begin to come back. Ammar comes back, everyone comes back. They run towards Rasulullah. They begin to take their weapons and forming the solid line, pushing the enemies back again. The Quraysh here begin to retreat and the Muslims settle, the dust settles. 70 members of the Muslims were killed. Now, this was a revenge for the Quraysh that they had killed this many Muslims. And they stood. The Muslims had held their own and survived to live another day. And here, Quraysh called back. And they say, A'ala Hubal. Hubal is great. So the Muslims call out, Allah A'la wa Ajal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater. And so they say, Yawm bi Yawm Badr. This is our revenge for Badr. So the Muslims say, no, it's not equal. Our brothers and sisters, our warriors are in heaven, your warriors are in hell. So they say, is Rasulullah dead? Is he gone? So the Muslims say, Rasulullah hears everything you're saying. The Quraysh realize that they failed because their aim was to open the pathway. Their aim was to open the road to Syria, but it wasn't open. So even though the Muslims lost many lives that day, the mission of Quraysh was not achieved. Rasulullah was not killed. And the road and route to Syria remained closed. Rasulullah was still in charge of the road and he kept it closed as pressure. Ya Quraysh, when you allow me to speak Islam to the Arabs, only then will I open the road. Even though you came by force, you couldn't. Now Quraysh realize they have come with all their force and they still couldn't open the road. So even though they tried to make it seem like this was revenge, it was still a failure on the part of Quraysh. And they returned to Mecca. They had also lost several soldiers. And now the Muslims had many, many dead. Rasulullah sees that Hamza is not around. So he tells Ali, where is he? Imam Ali alayhi salam looks at Rasulullah. He tells him, Ya Rasulullah, Hamza, my uncle has passed away. He's received martyrdom. So they walk to the corpse of Hamza, which was very far away from the battleground because of how far Hamza went on his own. And here Rasulullah began to cry and weep. And they buried Hamza. And Rasulullah, this is where they buried their dead in Al-Baqi'ah. Those who have been to Medina know Al-Baqi'ah. Many of those who died in Uhud are buried there. Rasulullah returns with the Muslims once again. People could not believe that Rasulullah survived two different wars with Quraysh and in both of them achieved victory, even though in Uhud they suffered many losses. Imam Ali alayhi salam comes to Sayyidah Zahra full of cuts, 63 cuts he faced that day all over his body, but all from the front because no one could get him from behind. Rasulullah tells her, wash this sword, Ya Fatima. This sword made Islam victorious today. She asks for her uncle, but he tells her what happened to Hamza. Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam would go out many days of the week. She would sit by the grave of Hamza and recite tasbih. And Hamza became known as the first one in Islam to be called Sayyid al-Shuhada, which later on became known as the name of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the master of the martyrs, and set out the tradition of martyrdom that dictated the path of victory of the Ahlul Bayt for so many years to come. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.